89,3 MHz FM stereo. Vi önskar er klart ljud och tydlig bild.
Intervju Radio Student.
Lepo pozdravljeni v današnjem RŠ intervjuju, kjer se bomo posodobili v tehnu in basu skozi krajši pogovor z britansko dubstep legendo Robom Ellisom alias DJ Pinchem. Če vam njegovo ime povzroča rahle preglavice, vam za začetek zaupamo le to, da je bristolski velikan z organizacijo Subloaded Dubloaded večerov položil temelje dubstep miselnosti v domačem mestu. Kot ustanovitelj založbe Tektonik izdal nepregledno število ubijalskih rezov. Kot producent in DJ pa s pretanjenim občutkom za raznolikost že leta uporno ohranja izrazito temačen, tehnoiden britanski izraz, skozi bodisi dubstep, bodisi novejše ritmične inovacije. Pred njegovim nastopom na odmevnem regionalnem bass festivalu Outlook konec avgusta se bomo tako skozi krajši pogovor sprehodili po zgodovini založbe Tektonik, vinilnem purizmu, svežih bass mutacijah z otoka in njegovi novi založbi Cold Recordings. Zdaj.
First of all, this has been a second interview with you on Radio Student, but I would still like you to introduce yourself and briefly describe what you do as a producer, DJ, and label owner.
Pinch, I'm a producer, DJ. I run a couple of record labels, Tektonik Recordings and Cold Recordings, and I guess make sort of dark dance music on the slightly experimental side.
It's been almost 10 years since you started Tektonik. How would you describe the path you've traveled so far in sonic terms? How has the scene you've established yourself in changed over the years, in your opinion?
My musical background, before I kind of started Tektonik and was involved with the early dubstep scene, I was very much into jungle, drum and bass, also like techno, grime and garage and things like this. Tektonik began just very simply as a dubstep label. There was very few other labels around at the time, and it was my vision of dubstep, so mm-hmm. things on a slightly more percussive, deeper and often darker kind of flavor. And then I guess as the label developed and the scene progressed over the years, dubstep became more of a familiar term and more of a kind of popular one worldwide. Mm-hmm. The sound of Tektonik kind of took on went through a period of referencing quite techno-y flavored sounds with artists like 2562 and Pebblist. And I guess in more recent years, it's kind of been trying to break it out of its tempo bracket a little more and involving some different tempo beats, a lot of stuff at 128, a lot of things I'm enjoying doing with likes of Mum Dance and Logos. Mm-hmm. Still capturing a kind of dark and deep experimental sound, but I think, you know, with a different form. So not so much a dubstep rhythmical backbone now, but, you know, exploring different possibilities.
10 years ago, starting a label, vinyl-only label, was quite a bold move. What motivated you to form the label, and what would be your advice to someone considering starting his own or her own label, vinyl-only label, in 2014?
Well, I'd say you'd have to be pretty crazy to start a vinyl-only label in 2014. It's a pretty tough to sell those units these days. Even sort of 5-6 years ago, you know, there was a lot more units on vinyl being sold on the release in general. Right now, I think things are starting to pick up again a little bit. There has been a bit more interest in increased sale around the vinyl side of things, but it's, you know, it's a very difficult thing. The economics are pretty difficult to make it work. I think if you're going to start a new label now and you want to do vinyl only, then you really should research your market first and make sure that it's possible to sell the kind of units that you're hoping to. You need to set up distribution and, you know, perhaps those discussions you should have with a distributor before you press the records, and you can gauge perhaps what the expectation for the sales might be. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to put anyone off, but I'm just saying don't jump into it thinking it's an easy thing. Yeah. Definitely do some research and get your head around what you're hoping to achieve with it and whether or not that's possible.
When you first started, you didn't have a distributor, right?
Tectonic always had a distributor. The very first label that I was involved with starting, it's a label called Subtext, which has kind of gone on to develop into a different kind of sonic. But back in 2004, yeah, there was no distributor that was willing to take it on entirely. So we kind of split distribution between three companies and did some direct sales to shops. And it was a lot of work to sell the units, you know. But luckily, as we progressed, we found it easier to sell units, and you know, more people were interested in working with us, and it just kind of went from there.
You remain a vinyl purist, right? You play only vinyl?
I still play only vinyl and dub plate acetates. Mm-hmm.
Last year you started your new label called Cold Recordings. What's the idea behind this sound and aesthetic?
Well, Cold Recordings, I mean, you probably noticed there's a little bit of overlap in the sonic between Cold and Tectonic. I guess it would be impossible for them to be completely unrelated because they're, I'm doing the A&R on the label. So Cold has perhaps got a bit more of a techno-based aesthetic, although really the whole kind of purpose of the label is to sort of explore new mutations in the kind of hardcore spectrum, and essentially it's an open platform. A lot of younger producers like Acre and Batu and El Mono and Ipman, and it's a kind of fresh context around which their music can sit and exist, and some of my own as well, you know. Trying to push things in a forward-thinking direction, and that sonic is something that will change and evolve over the years, but right now it's rooted in a kind of grime techno percussive mutation that I'm kind of fascinated with at the moment.
Yeah, the sound is very clinical, clean, and to me is reminiscent of metalheads, for example, in the 90s, but I think this is the aesthetic you've been trying to achieve in your dubstep tunes for quite a while, right?
Yeah, I mean, Metalhead has been a long-standing reference point for me, and you know, it was a kind of sonic reference point to give a sensibility about dubstep in its earlier days. It's also a sonic guideline, for example, with the Croydon House tune I made a few years back in 2010. I was thinking of, you know, what would it sound like if Metalheads was a house label releasing house music in 1995, so that was kind of you know, strong reference point for me there too. But it's not the only thing. I mean, I think the important aspect of that kind of reference is the sort of sense of a kind of dark energy, a kind of cold mood, but it's sort of an energizing one. It's not something that's necessarily dark or evil sounding for the sake of it, but it's something that has a kind of empowering sensation on the listener and on the dance floor, you know. Mm-hmm. And that that core aesthetic is something that's always been very close to my sonic pursuits. Mm-hmm.
There's been also one another interesting bass techno label in Bristol called Levity Sound, and I can't help myself thinking about that famous dubstep techno crossover everyone wanted to happen in 2007. What's your opinion on that 7 years later?
Well, you know, what can I say? I guess a lot of the same sort of people are still enjoying the same basic ingredients, but they're just rearranging them in a different way. I mean, I've always had a very kind of close relationship with Pevelist from Liberty Sound. He's a very good friend of mine. So yeah, I mean, you know, there's always been a shared aesthetic around that, and I guess several years ago, we were kind of fitting techno moods to a dubstep soundtrack, and I guess perhaps what's happening more so now is a little the other way around, elements of the old former dubstep and grime kind of aesthetics being worked into a format around the more kind of traditional techno tempos.
How much of a scene is there revolving around this sound, which is, I don't know, maybe called 130 at the moment?
Well, I personally wouldn't call it 130 myself, but anyway,
how would you call it?
I don't really think it has a name at the moment, and I think the longer it can stay like that, the better, because as soon as people start attaching ideas and expectation to it, it kind of helps confine and template a sound into something. So I'm sure some journalists will come up with a catchy phrase if there's enough attention going on around it, but for me, it kind of this is the exciting period. This is the bit that hopefully it will develop and fruit nicely. But you know, this is like for me the equivalent of the very early sort of dubstep years, where there's a lot of uncertainty about what defines the sound or exactly how to predict how it might go in the future. So that's when it's most exciting for me.
Your back-to-back mixes with Mumdance are also a definitive indicator of this shift you're talking about. There is a new sound on the horizon?
I mean, you know, this is what we kind of have been working towards, both separately and together, in, I guess over the last 18 months or so, maybe a little longer. But it's about finding and creating a space and just kind of moving into it. So, you know, there's, like I said before, there's a lot of similar ingredients of things that have interested both myself and Jack Mumdance in the music that we're making together, but it's arranged in with a sense of finding new form. So I mean, I'm hesitant to call it an accomplished or complete new sound, but it's definitely expressive of something that we've been working towards for some time and will continue to develop, because it's the process of moving and keeping moving in this context, which I think is the most rewarding.
So my last question would be, what are you playing in 2014? I've seen you a couple of years before. It was a great experience for everyone involved, but I haven't seen you play for a long time, and I'm really interesting to hear what you play in 2014.
Yeah, well, just come down and check out the show, or get online. There's lots of things to check out. The sound of the mix with myself and Mumdance that was recently released on Tectonic, that's a pretty good indication for the kind of pool of tunes that I'm drawing from. There's a recent Cold compilation featured on, obviously, my Cold Recordings label. You can catch a couple of my own tunes on there. And, that should give you a kind of good guideline for the taste of the newer end of the sound that's being represented here.
Okay, great. Do you have any last messages for the listeners of Radio Student?
All good, just keep supporting good underground music and follow your heart with it.
Eres intervju je pripravil Dino Lalić. Več si lahko preberete na spletni strani Radija Študent, www.radiostudent.si.
Intervju Radija Študent.